I don't have to earn the favor of God. I don't have to earn the mercy of God. I don't have to earn the grace or love of God. Fathers, do not make your children earn your favor. You love them. Do not provoke them.
Coming to you from San Gabriel Community Church, welcome to Growing in Grace with our teacher and pastor, Steve Ballantyne, who has us once again back here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, a little mini-series on the family simply entitled Gospel-Centered Relationships. Please join us today as we continue our examination of our children, what God expects from our children, what we should expect, and what they should expect from us. With today's broadcast of Growing in Grace, once again, here's our teacher and pastor with today's program, Pastor Steve Ballantyne.
When do you obey them? Children, obey your parents in what? Everything. See, I know how you're thinking, and Paul knows how you're thinking. He's like, they're going to be looking for the exceptions. You tell me to obey, okay, but when don't I have to obey? That's where we want to go first. There is a time not to obey, okay? But let's not start there. We'll end there, but let's not start there. Look how comprehensive this is. Obey your parents in everything. Surely he doesn't mean everything. Look at how extensive he is. In all things, in everything, kids, obey your parents. In everything, every area. Who your friends should be, what activities you should participate in, what you should eat, where you should go to school, who your boyfriend should be, who your girlfriend should be, what entertainment you should participate in everything, this is your default setting as children. Obey your parents in everything. Well, but all my friends, you ever felt that? Parents, you ever heard that? But all my friends. And parents, we're in a position of, we're making decisions that are different than maybe our peers make. And explaining to our children, so-and-so may not love their kid as much. No, that's what we say. Say, they have to make a decision for their kid. And we have to make a decision for you. And every child is different. And they love their kid, and this is the parameters they put on them, and this is the parameters we're putting on you. And they may be different than so-and-so, but you're going to need to trust us. And then children, you have to trust it. You say, well, you don't understand. My parents are so strict. They're too strict. They're oppressive. Well, I'd say to you, first of all, yeah, I do understand. I had to prove that point to you. I was 21 years old. I had never been to a movie theater because we just didn't go to movie theaters. I sat down with my parents to get permission to go with my fiance to Pinocchio. I understand strict. Okay? I had to break up with a girlfriend in junior high because we were unequally yoked. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? She was charismatic. It wasn't that she wasn't saved. She was the wrong denomination, okay? I understand strict. So don't tell me I don't understand strict. And we can exchange lists all day long of strict. But here's the more important point. It does not matter. Strictness is not one of the exceptions to obedience. What your friends are doing and you not getting to do it is not an exception to obedience. Children, obey your parents in everything. And what he's saying here is children are not the judges of what's right and wrong. Children are not the ones that get to decide this is a wise decision or an unwise decision. God has put the responsibility on parents, and it is a great responsibility. It is an overwhelming responsibility. When the Bible doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, it is not up to you, child, to say, I think it's okay anyway. It is up to your parents to say, no, this is wise and this is foolish. And I know it's not in Scripture, but I know you. And this is how I would apply it. And this is the best path for you. And you simply obey. That's your responsibility. Even when you don't understand it, you simply obey. And trust me, you won't believe me when I say this until you have kids. They have the harder job. I know you don't believe that. It's like when your parent says, you know, they're about to spank you and like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I don't know if I ever said it out loud. I thought it every time. It's like, we can switch. Like, I just always, I'm like, I'm happy to switch places with you if that's true. I love you that much, Dad, right? But it is in fact the more grave responsibility and the heavier responsibility for the parents to have to make these decisions. Your responsibility, child, is to obey. Now, is there an exception to this? There is. And sadly, some of you may have been in it or be in it. The exception to this obedience, the same exception that exists to all obedience, and that is if you're being commanded by a parent to disobey a higher power, namely God. Then you have the responsibility of Acts 4, to do what is right in the eyes of God. That's what Jesus is talking about in Luke when he says, "You to come to Christ, you must hate your father and mother." He's not saying to disregard obedience or honor. He's saying you must be more committed to doing what God calls you to do than what your parents have called you to do. And if your parents are asking you to do something that is illegal or unethical, or in violation of any of the pureness or the holiness or the standards of God, then yes, you can disobey. But that is the only exception. Obey in everything. Why? He tells us why, doesn't he? Children, obey your parents in everything, for, because this pleases the Lord. Remember, he is talking about how to live the Christian life. Children, you want to live out the Christian life? You want to live a life that's pleasing to God? Be obedient to your parents. This is his expectation of you. You learn to obey your heavenly Father, whom you cannot see, by obeying your earthly Father, whom you can see. You obey because it pleases the Lord. In Ephesians, Paul says you obey because it's right. Again, I would say you want to save yourself a remarkable amount of grief in this life. When you're faced with the decision, you start asking the question, is this the right thing to do? Not, is this what's popular? Is this what are people going to think of me if I do this? Is this the cool thing? Is this the easy thing? But is this the right thing to do? Because doing the right thing, being obedient to your parents, is pleasing to the Lord. And so God wrote it down over and over again, starting in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, all through the Old Testament, all through Proverbs, and into the New Testament. Children, obey your parents. This pleases the Lord. So I ask you, child, this morning, do you want to live a life pleasing to the Lord? Would you claim that? I want to please the Lord. I want God to be pleased with me. The answer to that is yes. Then this is where you start. And I would ask you this morning, is that a decision that you have made? That you have made for yourself? I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I don't want to just do these things because my parents expect them or they're making me do these things, but I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. If so, then start here, obey. It is an amazing thought to me, this picture. Children, obey your parents in everything, for it pleases the Lord. Think of that picture. When you obey your parents tell you to do something, and you do it, God is in heaven, smiling, as it were. He is pleased. You bring pleasure to Almighty God in heaven when you simply do what your parents tell you to do. God is pleased. Always think of that. This concept always reminds me of Chariots of Fire and Eric Little having that conversation with his sister about running and how when he runs, because he believed God has made him to run, because he made him fast, when I run, I feel his pleasure, is what he says. And what a great picture of feeling the pleasure of God. Children, you want to feel the pleasure of God? You want to know that you're doing something that without a doubt, God is in heaven looking down and saying, I am so happy about that kid. Obey your parents. Be obedient to your parents. It will please your parents, but much more importantly than that, it pleases your God. And that is your motivation. Your motivation is to please God. He says elsewhere, it will go well with you when you're obedient to your parents. It is the first commandment that he gave with a promise that you will live long. You'll live under his protection, I think, is the picture of that. And there's a spiritual component to that, no doubt. A lot of that, I think, is just practical. If you listen to your parents, you're going to live longer. I think there's some really practical wisdom connected there. And I can think back of times where I did not do that, when I finally started to move out from under the authority of my parents, and I was in that transitional time, and I did some things that they had always told me were stupid, and I realized, oh, turns out they know what they're talking about. From practical things, like I had a car, 16 years old, I get a 1965 Mustang, and it was fast. And I was told, don't race this car. Yeah, what could happen? And then I raced the car on these windy back roads. It's not meant for windy back roads. And I remember a buddy of mine, we decided to take this race across this mountain road, and we, by God's grace, got to his house safe. Literally, there's smoke coming from the tires and from underneath the hood, and we both sat there next to each other, holding on the steering wheels, and after like 30 seconds, we look over each other, and then we look back, and we tell each other later, we just thought, okay, never again. Like, I could have died. Turns out my dad told me not to do that. What do you know? Going to parties at the age of 19, and my parents would just never let me go to, and I thought it was all because they were just old fuddy-duddies. And I just wanted to be with my friends. I don't want to do anything bad. And you show up, and you realize, this is a bad place to be. Bad stuff happens here. Nothing good can happen in this place. There's one friend, he takes me to his house, and I thought we were just going to hang out, and his brother's a big football star, and all of a sudden a party breaks out. Do you know what I did? Halfway through the night, and I won't go into the details of all the situation, but halfway through the night, I realized I was faced with a choice to go down a path of absolute foolishness or wisdom. And I felt my flesh moving me towards foolishness. So I called my mom. I thought, I can't sin if my mom's on the phone. So I'm like, I just called my mom, and I'm just on the phone with my mom. And I thought, okay, it's all good now. Hang up. And like, now I'm good. I'm walking away from this. But I saw that there was wisdom in those things, and I thought they were just keeping me from fun. It will please the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. He's not done there, though. He comes to the fathers. Now, obedience is to both the parents, and so certainly there's responsibility on the part of both parents when we come to verse 21. In fact, he uses a word that can be translated as parents, but I think it's right that our translations, most of them at least, use the word father. And it sees in this, fathers hear this, a particular responsibility that we have in the home. The wives have responsibility, the mothers have responsibility, no doubt, but fathers, at the end of the day, it rests on us. And we have to step up and live up to the biblical responsibility that the home is under our authority and our responsibility, and the buck stops with us. And stop just expecting the wives to take care of all this stuff. Fathers, it is on us. I think there's also a recognition that the struggle that he's going to speak to in verse 21 is really more of a struggle for fathers than it is for mothers. It's where our flesh would take us when left to ourselves. And we're reminded as he gives these pairings, wives, husbands, children, fathers, that just because the children have a responsibility to be obedient in everything does not negate the father's responsibility in this relationship. To simply say, that's right, kid, you obey. That we as fathers cannot be insensitive or brutal or overbearing in our authority in such a way that might crush the spirit of our kids just because they've been called by God to obey. There's responsibility. What is this responsibility? Do not provoke your children. Do not provoke them. It's a word that could be translated embitter them. Fathers, don't dishearten your children. Don't discourage your children. Don't move them toward anger. Now, as he's saying here, don't do anything that makes your kid mad. Is that what he's saying? See, ultimately, the model for our fatherhood is the fatherhood of God. Does God do things that make people mad? Over and over again, doesn't he? He makes people mad all the time. He's not saying, your fathers, if you do anything that makes your child mad, then you've failed as a father. If that were the case, then you couldn't tell your kids to do anything. Go to bed. That doesn't make me happy, Dad. Right? All of our instruction that makes them angry would be inappropriate. That's not what he's talking about. He's speaking of using negative motivation. One person put it this way. He says, stop, literally, irritating your children that they may lose heart. Stop nagging your kids. Stop emotionally exploding at your kids. There is still discipline, but the discipline is filled with grace and mercy. We don't put our children in the position, fathers, that they believe they have to earn our favor, that they have to earn our grace, that they have to earn our love, that they have to earn our mercy, that we love them less because their performance was lower, that we love them less because they struck out several times instead of hit the game-winning home run, that we love them less because they're different than us. Why? Again, that's not how our Father loves us. I don't have to earn the favor of God. I don't have to earn the mercy of God. I don't have to earn the grace or love of God. Fathers, do not make your children earn your favor. You love them. Do not provoke them. And then he's more specific. He explains, here's the result of this, which gives insight into what he means by provoke, lest they become discouraged. The word here, it's a fascinating word. It means, it could be translated spiritless, lest they lose heart. Do not provoke them lest you break them, is the sense. Do not provoke them lest your harshness robs them of their spirit. Over time, this is what happens to children when they are provoked by their fathers, that harshness eventually breaks the heart of a child. And you see kids, they finally just give up. They just quit. Or they rebel, embittering them, breaking them. Now, kids, hear this. This is not a license for you to use a text such as this to manipulate your parents, particularly your fathers. Say, Dad, that really discouraged me, and that discipline is going to embitter me against you, okay? That's not your role. Your role is simply to obey, but fathers, there's great responsibility here. We must still discipline. We must instruct, but in a way that breaks that sinful will without breaking the spirit. And sometimes that's a difficult line to find. I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. I was talking with someone beforehand. It just feels like one of those lines that as you approach it, you know you're approaching it, and the spirit says, okay, stop. But I want to try to put some feet to this. I want to try to give examples of this. And I think if I had a board up here, I could ask you, you know, tell me all the different ways you can break the spirit of your child. We could come up with an endless list, it would seem. Let me give you some broad categories of ways that I have seen fathers break the heart of their children, discourage the hearts of their children. The first is this, his hypocrisy. I can't think of anything that'll break the heart of a child quicker, that will break their spirit quicker than asking them to live up to a standard that they know you ignore. To expect from them a spirituality that you don't embrace. To speak of the importance of church, and so you make sure they're every week, but you miss every time there's a big game. You want to break the heart of your child, then be a hypocrite. Be a man that doesn't live up to what he claims to believe. Now, hear this. There's some things that are appropriate for adults that aren't appropriate for kids. So this isn't saying, you know, when you send your kids to bed at 8 and they're like, well, you're not going to bed at 8. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. But living a life that is contrary to his word, living a life that is in contrary to the standards that God has established, living a life in contrast to God's holiness and righteousness, and then calling them to that standard. The do as I say, but not as I do approach to fatherhood. Be a man that your wife can point to and say to the children, be like your dad. You want to give your wife a gift? Give her that. That when she's trying to think of an example for her children to explain something, she can simply say, you know what, be like him. You'll be fine. Now, we're not perfect dads, and we fail, but even in that, there's a model, is there not? To show your kids that we're people in need of mercy, and we're people in need of grace, and we're people in need of forgiveness, that just because you're a dad doesn't mean you've arrived. Again, isn't this exactly what the Father does for us? Be holy as what? As I am holy. That's what the Heavenly Father, that's the expectation, that this is who God is, and he calls us to that standard. And now we as fathers are to be able to say to our kids, follow me. We're discipling them. And there's failure and there's shortcomings, but we're saying to our kids, follow me as I follow Christ. Secondly, is the use of your mouth. Putting a child down, demeaning them, being a father that is full of constant criticism. Ask yourself this, do I encourage my child? Do I praise them? Do I affirm them? Do I compliment them? Related to that, I think, do you show them affection? Do you belittle their struggles or successes? Is every story they tell you followed by, well, big deal, when I was a kid. Every failure, you have a bigger failure. Every success, you've got a bigger success. Because we don't have self-control with our mouths. You think you had a hard day? How was your day at school, kid? It was hard, Dad. You think you had a hard day? You should have been at my job today. That's hard. That's life. You want hard? Come to work for me for a day, right? Again, doesn't this point back to the Father? God of the universe, you know what he says? Cast all your cares on me. I'll take them all. Imagine if you go to God in prayer, and instead of him saying, yeah, I'll take that burden, him going, are you kidding me? Do you know the cosmic things I am dealing with right now, and you're going to bring this to me? Are you serious? Think about what that would do to you as a child of God. Think about what that does to your kid when you don't allow them to cast their burdens on you and listen to their successes and listen to their failures and to their struggles. The third way, I think, is common for the spirit of children to be broken and discouraged is just bad discipline. Fathers, I think we're worse at this than mothers, and we have got to be on particular guard about being inconsistent, being unpredictable, being unclear in our expectations. John Stott found this quote. I thought it was really helpful and instructive. It's worth much reflection. He says, wise parents recognize that not all non-conforming behavior of a child should be considered rebellion. Be careful that as you instruct and as you train, you're doing it in a way that doesn't break the heart of a child who's just expressing themselves and not being rebellious. There's a difference. Fathers, learn to recognize it. So you discipline for rebellion and not for a kid just being a kid. So I ask you in closing, children, how you doing? How you really doing in your heart? Real obedience is a matter of the heart. And I think the kids in here know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a difference between conforming and transforming.
And you're listening to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. If you have questions or comments about the broadcast, maybe you have a prayer request, please reach out to us. We'd love to help out any way that we can. You can reach out to us at 626-656-1000 or stop by our website and drop us an email, sangabrielcommunity.org. If you're looking to join us for worship, we meet at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:45, and directions and information again can be found at sangabrielcommunity.org or by simply calling 626-656-1000. By the way, as you stop by our website, you'll find an archive of past sermons available to listen to, information about us, who we are, what we believe, and why. Pastor Steve's blog is available from our website as well, and information about San Gabriel Christian School. Please stop by sangabrielcommunity.org or call 626-656-1000. Please remember, as you contact us, this is a listener-supported ministry. As you link arms with us prayerfully and financially, we are able to continue the ministry here in the greater Los Angeles area. Please consider that as you contact us, won't you? Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We look forward to seeing you next week at this same time for another broadcast of Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.